Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, this is going to be a fun one.
Hey, man, I am looking forward to this. We've had a heck of a week. We had a early in the week, we were down at Georgia State. Then we've had Women in Technology here, LeaderCast here. I don't remember working this hard in a while.
I know. It's like a real job.
All right. Who we got with us, man?
All right. We're going to kick it off with Tim Visconti. And he's with PeopleLift, and we met him at, I think, WeWork. Is that right, Tim?
Yes. We got our first introduction via an email, and then I came down pounding the door just to try to get in.
That's right. And now we can't get rid of you.
Yeah. There you go. Now I'm stuck.
All right. Well, tell us about PeopleLift for those who weren't part of the other show.
Absolutely. So we're an employee experience consulting firm owning your entire talent journey from brand unaware until your last day and helping build small business organizations, really bringing that kind of Fortune 500 strategy down to the SMB level.
Now, is this an area that the small business person neglects until it's too late sometimes?
It always ends up being, is that especially when you're playing the capital game in early stage, you try to push off hiring or investing as long as you can because mm-hmm. you want to make sure your business is stable. Our theory is that that is detrimental to your long-term growth strategy, and by fractionally breaking pieces off into a la carte kind of style services, we've been able to drop the price point that's attractive enough for the SMB but powerful enough to help get the job done.
Now, is this an area that people always talk about culture, and this comes into play here, right? If you don't get this right at go, your culture is going to create itself, right? If you're not being mindful about this.
Oh, exactly. And that's the risk that you run. So our clients are in one of two phases. Either they're trying to establish and maintain a culture, or they're trying to repair it. Mm-hmm. The repairing factor has a 5x increase in terms of total cost. Sure. So I love the repair customers. But the idea is, let's get it right the first time. And it sounds counterintuitive to bring people as part of your strategy very early on in the process, especially when you're trying to bootstrap everything, because everything is all technology or process, or how do we optimize each part of our customer journey. Well, that really ends up starting around who are the minds that are bringing the solutions to the table, who are the people you're supporting every single day. And that doesn't require a massive investment versus what the traditional think tanks will tell you.
Now, do you work with, I know you work with the small to mid-sized business owner, but are you also kind of partnering with the VCs and the private equity firms that have just kind of acquired somebody, or they're just invested in a firm?
Well, you just gave away my business strategy for the next 12 months. No. In the end, we marry well, very well with the post-investment maintenance and the administration of your investment. Because reality is, most VCs have an exceptional CFO layer, CEO layer, CMO layer. But what they are really, and they haven't had to really invest too much in the people layer, because it ends up just being, we'll go spend cash. We'll just go burn it and bring the right people on. Our theory is you're going to spend 5 to 10x more than you should from the cash that is needed to bring the person on board, or your strategies that let your top performer go. So that has a kind of a negative impact from that perspective. So if we can partner well with a VC early stage, then we're able to really make sure their investment is being well taken care of.
Now, walk me through an onboarding. Like, say a VC starts working with you guys and say, okay, we want PeopleLift to work with ABC company over here. So what does that now look like?
Sure. So we pride ourselves in being fully immersed within the culture within the first 5 business days. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but the idea is we don't come in with the big four mentality of here's your $100,000 PowerPoint deck. It is here, we're going to become part of your day-to-day ecosystem across each of your different divisions, so we can start doing the step one is understanding where your gaps are. And then taking that gap analysis and translating that into a headcount and a talent roadmap from that day until our engagement ends. So the onboarding is a full suite of 13 different pieces of tech that we've bolted on for your entire employee experience, an EXC consultant or your employee experience consultant, and then sleeves rolled up day one, we're here to help change the future for you.
But it's not necessarily a, here's some tools, go forth and prosper, like you're hands-on helping.
Exactly. And that's where one of the gaps that we recognized in the initial business strategy for most HRIS tech or HR technology is, here's a great piece of tech that's cost you a ton of money, but we can't actually administer it or get the most ROI out of it. And if you look at most tool usage and the amount of churn that you go through that, most customers don't fully utilize it day one. So instead of worrying about rollout, implementation, adoption, conversion, and ROI, we take care of that all for you. So your idea is you dream, and then we build your dream team.
And then, sometimes you need help, and sometimes you need a helper, right?
Exactly.
And so this is, you're getting a helper.
Yes. And then the idea is that it actually can be broken off into the help, helper, and then as we're walking out the door, we leave you with the right resource to be able to take care and manage of it. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to come in and just solve a pain point and leave it
and
just...
And see you later.
And then come back because we haven't actually solved the problem. And the idea is that we identify it, we help curate a solution behind it, we marry you with the tech to help you support it, and then get you the right person that's going to help manage it after we're done.
So now, what's been the most rewarding part so far?
In building an organization?
Or like having that set up and getting someone going and then maybe having them...
The single best validation for what we're doing every single day is we didn't know what the rigor behind this kind of process could be and the amount of impact that it's had for our best employees. If you can just move the needle 1% from a CEO perspective, there's a decent ROI. But if you're making it an enjoyable, fun, and charismatic place environment to work in when it traditionally is not, let's just be upfront, when 85% of us hate our job day to day, if we can make that a positive environment, that has a massive impact. But if we're able to quantify that down to the very, in my opinion, the biggest ones are revenue generated or operations cost saved, we can provide the tangible value and then the emotional value. That's huge. And more importantly, is you're preparing someone for a long-term successful venture, which is helping the families that are associated with that and the stressors that are associated with that help ease, take some of that off of your plate. So for me, it's just watching the system work and then seeing the amount of happiness and overall the kind of culture of good, if you will, that we've been able to build.
Now, as an entrepreneur, to be able to have a vision of something and see it actually, kind of come to life the way you envisioned it must be...
Oh, yeah, but it was, I'll be upfront, it was absolutely not what I originally envisioned. I think that's the best part about this, is that when I started this adventure, I had an idea that it was, going to be X.
Right.
But the fact that it has been very different in actually much more positive way, in my opinion, I think that that's been a really nice new adventure. So I'll kind of walk you through what that means.
Sure.
Top level, we're here to drive your business. Okay, we're helping you to accelerate your exit strategy if that's what you're looking to do. For most small businesses, they want to get acquired. But what we have actually found is instead of accelerating that vision, we've just created an area where people feel safe. They feel engaged and they feel rewarded for what they're doing day to day. And while that has wonderful impact in what we're doing, that was not the original intent. It was a business driver. And then you look at this and say, wow, we're helping people on a personal level on top of their business. Mm-hmm. So that was an awesome side effect.
Right.
No, definitely not intended, but at the same time, it's now become part of our DNA to say, the natural result of investing this much in your people is that you're going to create a higher arc, if you will, or higher calling for your people to come into work every single day. That's is more powerful than any business strategy that I've come up with.
And then that's an example of people are hungry for that.
Yeah.
So if you can create a system that creates that environment and that culture where they can really thrive, then you really are impacting people's lives at the core.
And that's, you hit the nail on the head. When I started the business, it was, how do I make as big of impact in this world as possible? And I said, work. And that is the fundamental area that most people spend a majority of their lives in, that we're not enjoying it. So if we can find some way of moving that needle, there's a win. Not only are we accelerating business, but we're providing domino impact for their families and their communities. I mean, it's just such a, the tree effect, if you will, is almost endless because you empower one person to feel better about what they're doing every day. Every person they interact with throughout the day is going to be better because of that.
Right.
So then the ripple effect is huge.
So now what do you need more of? How can we help?
Oh, well, always need more customers. Yeah, let's just be upfront here. But no, the reality is that from a business standpoint is that we're looking to share our journey and we'll introduce Philip here in just a second about this, is to share our journey and all the pain that we went through building this organization to help other entrepreneurs on that track. Mm-hmm. So if there is anyone that we can help introduce or an idea or to bounce some certain consultation strategies off of, or more importantly, just have someone they can talk to, like, what should I do here? That's what we'd love to be able to help. And you could find us at peoplelift.com and fill out a contact form. We'll get back to you with usually within an hour. And it's very simple for us to be able to say, here's your free consultation. Here's how we've approached it. Here's where we've made mistakes. Don't make those.
Right.
And more importantly, here's either a people, a person, or process, or a piece of technology that'll help lift your business.
So now the perfect prospect for you is who?
Is a small business owner who's between 150 and 500 people that are looking to scale their business aggressively. So you're looking at more than 10 hires in the next 6 months. And that is a significant capital investment, not only from a hiring perspective, but also a process and technology perspective as well. The secondary market for us is super early stage organizations that are just looking to either build a roadmap for their future hires or understand what that ecosystem is going to look like as a dream on their scaling strategy.
Now, what's the pain they're having where you guys are the solution?
The biggest pain is that it's too darn expensive to bring somebody on, and we can't afford to have somebody on full time, but we need expert advice. Mm-hmm. So it's that combination of we don't have enough cash on both sides to pay the right person or to pay a person to solve that pain. So we've been able to create a very unique offering where we come in as almost your startup therapist to help get you off the block. So when you are ready for those true strategies to hit, then you already know what's going to be expected from a budget standpoint.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Excellent.
Again, website?
www.peoplelift.com.
All right. And who'd you bring with you? Another kind of WeWork refugee?
Oh, it's a WeWork refugee. I don't know if WeWork and refugee is going to go be a trendy one for us. This is Philip Hill for Grow Media. I was actually introduced to him via his dog as he was walking by. A beautiful puppy that
it's
was
a good
going
lead
by.
Gen system he's got.
I bet every single person in WeWork.
And so I asked the dog's name first, which is typical Tim, which is unfortunate and probably a terrible reflection of me as a person. But then we were at a very interesting conversation around the clients that he was supporting in the e-commerce world. I'm going to kick it on over to him, but it was a supportive, wonderful level of clients, and there's an interesting overlap between what we're doing and what they're doing as well.
Good stuff. Well, welcome, Phil.
Philip. Thank you.
Sorry, I screwed it up.
It goes
you said
way.
Philip, and then I said Phil. So Philip Hill with Grow Media Agency. Tell us about Grow Media. How are you serving folks?
So we're a digital marketing agency. We have a variety of clients in different industries, but our primary focus is e-commerce, probably 70 to 80% of our business is e-com. And we're really getting in with a lot of these companies in the early stages, not necessarily startup. We like them to have figured out, for one, if it's a viable product that they have to offer. And for two, figuring out their operations, logistics, shipping, all of those things. And having, you know, an advertising budget, a marketing budget to put behind it. Our overlap with Tim is, We can handle the marketing piece. We can drive traffic. We can drive sales. But there's a lot of other components to the business. And if those fall through, which we oftentimes see they do, you know, that will kill the whole business in itself, regardless of the traffic they get, regardless of the sales that they have. So we went to lunch one day. I was like, man, I have some people I need to introduce you to.
Right. That you saw that, because a lot of times solving the marketing problem just exacerbates their business problem.
We had a call last week from a client said, you have to stop everything right now. Shut it down. And so we cut all the ads off, but like we've driven 3,800% increase in organic traffic from SEO in 4 months. We can't just turn that off.
Right.
We made sure before we got going with you that you had, you know, all your manufacturing capabilities figured out, your warehousing, your shipping. Which they did at the time, but they're about at capacity. So they're now figuring out how do we build out a new warehouse, new teams. So we've shut it back. But yes, it definitely exacerbates problems when they don't have things figured out on their side, which is where Tim can step in.
So now tell me about your background. How'd you get involved in marketing?
So I'm really just an entrepreneur first. I was the kid that always had strange ways to make money in second grade, selling warheads to, you know, all the way through high school doing random things. And in college, I started a business. I got a dog, fell
that's
in love with
key.
Him.
I noticed that's at the heart of all your business.
Second time we've mentioned the dog.
Right. Yeah. So I fell in love with him, realized, you know, I had a love for business and a passion for my dog, and then it turned to dogs and more dogs. But so I kind of, you know, built businesses around that in the pet space, and I really had an opportunity of a lifetime just fall in my lap. I left school. I went to University of Alabama, left a semester early. My parents wanted to kill me. But this guy, he was the former CEO of the largest ink cartridge distribution company in the country, and looking for people that were kind of experts in different industries to partner with to start e-commerce sites with. Leaving school after 3.5 years, and I got a few month e-commerce crash course, and I learned more in that than I did all my entire school, time right? and all of my education. Right. He ended up, month we were launching, getting a often terminal illness. And I was like, well, I don't know. I've learned a lot, but I don't know what the heck's going to happen if something goes wrong and he's hospitalized. And so I kind of started my own ventures from there, mostly in e-commerce or at least online lead generation space from the marketing standpoint, where I just taught myself as much as I could. And that just led to people saying, how in the world are you doing this for your own companies? I still have most of those, but other people run the day-to-days. And so it just kind of emerged from teaching myself to now building out teams that are way far better than I am at the execution side, but understanding strategy and how these things work together is kind of how we ended up here.
So now what is the kind of the scope of your work? What are some of the services you offer? Is it just I can build you a website, or is it you have an existing website and I can, you know, do some SEO magic to make people go there? Like what are some of the things you do?
Website design and development. SEO is one of our main services, and social media marketing, digital advertising. So we do a lot of Facebook and Google advertising, and then kind of specialized advertising around that. I think what separates us is building a whole strategy that brings all of those things together, as opposed to having, you know, vendors that do one piece of the puzzle. They don't understand how all that comes together, where there's a lot of marketing and advertising tactics that feed each other. But when you're not putting that whole puzzle together, you don't understand exactly how that works and how to exacerbate certain areas.
So it's one of those things where you think, like, because you get bombarded with people that have these magic solutions, like, oh, I can be your LinkedIn person, and then I can run LinkedIn ads, and then you're doing this in a silo, and then you should be, if you coordinated everything, LinkedIn, Facebook, website, you know, blogging, all, whatever you're doing together in a cohesive manner, you get more bang for your buck.
That's right, but kind of to break that down even farther. So what we've built out are teams that actually have expertise in only one of those fields, but then we have strategists that put all of that together.
Right. So they're like kind of using all of the tools exactly. to your benefit.
Exactly. So we have our SEO guys, all they do every day, they come in and that's SEO. All they're doing.
Right.
Our digital ads, that's all they do. Our right. content creators are creating content. But then all of the strategy for what they're actually doing is from the big picture, you know, 30,000 foot strategy of how we bring all these together and how they feed each other.
Now, do you specialize in B2C or B2B or both?
Mostly B2C. We do have some B2B clients, but B2C is probably 80 or 90% of our
business.
Then,
so from that standpoint, so your clients are companies that sell like toys or something like that.
We're pretty big in the pet space.
right.
We have a cat litter subscription company.
So they deliver cat litter.
Yeah. So it's a great, it's a great product.
It's, cause it's heavy. It's a pain.
That's right. So it's a patented litter box. And then they have silica mineral litter that it has it's micro porous. So it holds all the liquid in. So the biggest thing with cat litter is having to change it out often, and it smells. And so it doesn't smell at all. You just have to stir it daily, pick the poop out, and you don't have to change the litter at all. The next box will come a month later.
And you just throw it away. And then right.
They've acquired 50,000 customers in a year and a half into business.
Wow.
They just got one more.
Everybody that tries it loves it. We have dog bed companies. We have jewelry companies, clothing lines. We have a good bit of clients in the music space, which isn't e-commerce, but... branding and artists.
Musicians, they're selling their concerts or events.
So like we just had a call with a record label because we work with one of the managers, all of her artists. So it'll be anything from branding for them to helping grow their socials is a big thing that we do. Then we partner with a company called Get Engaged that we work with on a daily basis. and they do influencer marketing for artists, which most people have never thought of those two things in the same realm. But
like what artists?
So artist has a new single that comes out.
So musician artist.
Right. So musician. Right. So musician artist comes out with a new album or a new single, and it will. So a couple weeks ago, it was like Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Hopkins, like all these A-list celebrities that are listening to it on Instagram, on their stories and tagging the artist. It's really effective. But from an e-commerce standpoint, it's mostly, you know, mostly
B2C. But in music, is it different now? Like, is that, are they monetizing through that, or are they monetizing through showing up at the show?
The music industry has changed a lot. So there is... If you get a lot of streaming volume, you can make money there. But yeah, tours and
so now the main moneymaker is touring, right?
It is. The other thing though is anybody with an audience now, you can get paid just for that audience in itself. So the tours from the direct income from music, sure. But if you build an audience, you know, those are the influencers used as well, just in other realms.
And then how big of an audience do you have in order to be an influencer nowadays?
I mean, you can be a micro. Anybody can be an influencer, really. Right. It's we find that Tim's oftentimes...
he's an influencer. Just, he got us all here today. So
that's right. But oftentimes, micro Definition influencers change. Have, you know, people, their smaller followings know them better. They're going to take their recommendations more than somebody with 10 million followers that, for one thing, if you're an A-list celebrity, you have a bunch of random followers. Your demographics are all over the place. It's not right. very targeted. You just have a huge audience. It doesn't mean that people are necessarily going to listen to you as much. And also, they have a much higher price tag, where influencer marketing is still fairly new. So some of the smaller people have no idea what they're worth. And
right.
you can definitely get your money.
So now, what's kind of an example of you hired an influencer, you paid X, and then it drove Y number of sales? Like, what's your personal best?
So a lot of the time, it's tough to set to tell. So that would be more like affiliate marketing. We give them a discount. Affiliate marketing is what
got... Do you do that too?
Affiliate marketing is what got that site, what made us have to turn all the ads off last week. So affiliates would be directly with a discount code or a link that tracks that. So that was just a placement that got like 800 orders that day or something like that from one link. Whereas influencers, if it's product placement, you're just sending them free product and you don't know exactly what comes from that, but you can see, you know, an uptick.
But they're wearing the t-shirt or they're doing something with it.
Right. So it's just kind of calculated risk there, as opposed to, you know, affiliate links that are clearly trackable.
So how does affiliate marketing work?
So affiliate marketing, you go out and recruit. I mean, there's super affiliate sites that are, you know, the Ebates and Retail Me Not and those type.
But are these, is that a channel that maybe people are underusing? Or you think that
most all of the big brands utilize
affiliate marketing.
A lot of smaller brands, they don't know what it is, or they don't understand that there are affiliate programs that they can join. There are all these sites now for influencers and affiliates that you go sign up and they basically recruit the influencers or affiliates for you, or just put it out there to their network and see who will take it.
Does that work? No, not really.
No, because you don't know. You have no control over that.
Right.
Where with affiliates, it's building out. Like if you have the girl that runs the affiliate program, she has been doing this for 7 years. She has a giant.
So you have a person network. On staff that's like a guru. Of
yeah. So Get Engaged. It's like our sister company. Tim knows them as well.
Right. And they're in WeWork.
They do have one that she runs. I mean, there's a team built out, but Melissa runs the whole.
But they specialize in affiliate marketing for their clients.
And influencer marketing.
Influencer marketing.
Yeah.
And then some of this stuff for your clients, they don't have the time or know how to do any of these things well, right? They kind of have a superficial knowledge of all of them or some of them.
That's right. So everything that we do for the most part is too technical for our clients to do themselves, with the exception of social media. But most of our clients are like, oh, well, we post on social every day. I'm like, well, what's your strategy? Because I can't figure it out. Like, is it effective? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, you have 600 followers. You seem to have a great product. What's going on? So I think that there's so many people that just post on social personally that they just think that it's easier. They see their kids posting.
Or they just go, hey, my kid's 22. You're in charge of social media.
That happens often with some of the smaller companies. And so there's kind of a upside and downside to working with some of these e-commerce clients. So what I like about it is you can build a giant business as far as revenue goes with a very small staff. So we deal directly with, you know, one or two people there that's probably the owner or their right-hand man, as opposed to another organization.
Like a lot of bureaucracy, and you got to get 40 approvals to get anything done.
Exactly. And we don't have to deal with any of that. And so a lot of what we found, though, is dealing with those, you know, smaller size companies, they just think they can handle one piece of it or not. And then once we kind of start putting elements of what we do in, they're like, all right, maybe they know what they're doing more and hand it off to us. And then kind of another side of that is we like working with companies, which is really how we align with Timwell too, that are 1 to 3 years into business. I mean, we have companies that are brand new. We have some that are, you know, 20, 30 years old, but they figured out one way to acquire customers well, but they haven't necessarily figured anything else out. So they're like, we turn these Facebook ads on
and
they're working.
So we just keep doing it.
Right. I'm like, okay, let's figure out how else to grow that, how else to feed that. And even if they've gotten, you know, they're acquiring customers pretty rapidly, we can show them ways to cut those customer acquisition costs or how to use other marketing tactics that they would have, they don't even know exist or have no idea where to begin, that kind of feed what they're already doing.
So now have you had any client where you're like, yeah, I don't know about this, and then you start marketing and you're like, oh my God, there's like a million people want to like kind of surprise you?
We have
I mean, that cat litter thing probably was,
the cat litter thing.
you thought that was a no-brainer.
Well, like, they were one of the companies that was, they were already having success themselves, but with just one, like, channel, basically, like, not doing anything else. Right. So we at that point we knew it was a viable product.
Right.
But a lot of times where we find that is a little niche that we're not too knowledgeable of.
Right.
We're like, this is crazy. Nobody cares about this. And right. Sure enough.
It's like, so what's an example of that?
So we have a client, it's Specialty Dog Beds. He's one of my favorite clients. Great guy. Really easy to work with. Smart guy. And I know the space very, very right. well. So he actually reached out to me kind of as an influencer first. And I said, well, I still have a marketing.
You were an influencer?
I am, yeah, in the pet space.
In the pet.
Right. So, I mean, we have, on our combined Instagrams, I don't know, some 150,000 followers or something
for pet
space between a couple, two Instagram accounts. And so that's how he reached out to me. I was like, I think we can help you outside of that, or kind of told him what I did. And I'm looking, these beds are like $200 to $330. And right. I deal with people in the pet space that spend a lot of money on their pets. And I was right. like, this is crazy.
You thought that was too high?
Yeah. I was like, I make a lot of money in the pet space and I would never pay that for a bed. Well, now I see it's like a mattress. It is extremely high quality. It comes to you like a Casper or Lisa, you know, that comes in the box right. and rolls out and inflates. My dogs absolutely love it. We sell those things like crazy.
Because there is no limit what someone will pay for their pet.
That's exactly right. And it is really just a great quality product and, right. and good customer service. And we, you know, market it well, but that was one that I thought that I would know better than, you know, most of our clients that are right. in, you know, women's jewelry. I'm not going to know how that sells, right. but it sells like
beds,
crazy.
You thought maybe they'll spend $50, $100.
Yeah.
But how much are these? These are
they're like
$200 or $300.
$180 to $330.
Right.
Yeah. It's a few products. Like, he has three different types of beds and three
so
different
now,
colors.
I guess the lesson there is for all clients is just add a super expensive version of whatever you're doing. yeah, see where the edges are.
That's right.
Payless did that. I don't know if you saw anything about that. Payless, actually, the discount shoe store, they right. just changed their name, marked their prices up three times, and took the same shoes in there. And you just, in that exact situation you just brought up,
wow.
they made a ton of revenue because it was a new store and right. a new price, and no one has this. Imagine spending $300 on a shoes you could have gotten for $25.
No thanks.
So now walk me through what it looks like when you meet a new prospect. I guess they're e-commerce and they're struggling, or maybe they plateaued and they're frustrated. They think they got something good, but they're having a hard time getting traction. So what's it like? How do you onboard them, and how do you kind of get them going?
Yeah. So a lot of it is looking at what they're already doing. Some of them will have struggles in some areas. But most of them at least are having some success to have, you know, a budget or.
Right. So there's traction. There's kind of proof of concept that some people are going to buy this. It's
right.
just a matter of getting the word out to the right people in the right way.
Right. And so we kind of see what they've done, up to that point and mm-hmm. say, either how do we change this because it's broken, or what are you doing well that we can add to
right.
And it typically takes a pretty extensive audit. It's going to look far different for every client or every prospect that we talk to. And from there, we can kind of break down, okay, here's what you're doing well. And then also seeing, like, where is your engagement coming from? And what are you doing through these channels? Not just what channels are you using, but what are you doing that's really drawing that engagement? And taking from that and learning how to kind of utilize that in other aspects of a marketing plan.
And then for you, how long does that take for you to kind of get the lay of the land and know that, okay, this one's going to take a little longer than that one? You know, how does that work?
Yeah. So a lot of that depends on the industry.
Right.
So if it's an industry, we don't have any clients that are direct competitors. We won't take another dog bed company.
Okay. So that's a personal choice though. A lot of agencies that'll take, you know,
a lot of agencies just try to run down the same path. So we'll take pet product companies, but I'm not going to take another high end
pet bed,
dog bed company selling the exact same thing.
Right.
Our business is built around helping other businesses, right? So if our clients aren't successful, neither are we. And so all we feel like we're just, it's just counterproductive, really. So we have, you know, plenty of clients in the pet space or in similar spaces, but aren't necessarily direct competitors. Right.
But now how quickly, like if they flip the switch and they go to Grow Media and they go, okay, we're in, you know, they pay whatever they got to pay to be in. Is this something like in 30 days they're going to see something happen? Is it 90 days? Is it a year?
So it depends on what we're doing and where they are. If we're picking up with something that they're already doing well and they're just turning over from either internal to using an agency or one agency to the next, we can often – they don't want any downtime, so we have to pick up really quickly. They're also – so that's a quicker turnaround. It could be a week that we're, you know, up and running where we have a client that – it took us a month to do an SEO audit because it was an extremely competitive space. I mean, their competition was Walmart.com, PetSmart.com, Petco.com, giant sites. And so we had to really look into it and find where are these holes in the market. That's also kind of what separates us and why we have such success with SEO is we start off from software that kind of runs an audit on how competitive is the space and what's the search volume. There's a handful of other factors, but those are kind of the main two things. And a lot of companies just look at that and they're like, we're not going to dig into this. And once we narrow that down, we manually go in and look at what are the sites that are actually listed with these keyword phrases. So that client started getting kind of pushy with, when are you actually going to do any work? It's been now 3 weeks and we don't have anything back even on what keyword phrases we're going to use. And from the time we started that audit, who I was telling you about before. From the time we started that audit to 4 months later, they had a 3,800% increase in organic search traffic.
Because you got it right.
That's right. And so I told him, I was just kind of trying to hold him back. Like, this is the most important part of it. We can start and just, you know, just flip a coin and choose these keywords, but that's
hoping isn't a strategy, right?
That's right. That's right.
So then once you kind of honed in and found the holes and the opportunities, then you were able to kind of go deep in that and then really get them traction in that.
Exactly. Very quickly. But it all comes down to...
But you got to manage their expectations because they're like, hey, look, I'm paying you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
When did the results start piling up?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, we paid you. We don't see any tangible work. Right. Right. So for like we have local businesses we work with too, and that could be, you know, a week turnaround because there's only just so much to assess and... They're typically
pretty easy.
So
do you do local, like brick and mortar stores too? Or is it primarily like kind of?
I mean, with our prospecting campaigns, it's mostly e-commerce. I love e-commerce because of the scalability. A local brick and mortar store only just can get so much reach.
And then because they only care really about people who live a few miles away, right?
Because why would they care about anybody else, right? Where e-commerce, you can.
It's the world, right?
The world, even the country. And it's so easy to scale with them that, you know, we'll start with people spending $2,000, $5,000 a month on ads that are spending now, you know, $50,000 a month, $60,000 a month, $90,000 a month.
So they're wasting that much, some of these
clients? No, it's, you know, with e-commerce from an advertising perspective, kind of our strategy, if you have inventory, shipping, you know, all of your operations in place is if you spend $5,000 and you make $10,000, then you need to spend 10 and you can make 20 and 20 to make 40. And then at some point, that's probably going to plateau. There's going to be a cap. But that's what I love about it is just the scalability and growing a business with someone. I'm really, you know, I love marketing and learned all of this really myself, but I'm really an entrepreneur first. So I overstep my bounds sometimes probably of, I know this is not what you hired me to do. Come dig into your business. Some people tell me that. Step back. This is not what I hired you to do. And other people are like, last week I had a guy that called me. He was like, can I just call you and pick your brain on, it had nothing to do with marketing really. Just on helping grow his business and expand.
So now what was the biggest kind of quick change? Like you said, you know, 1,000 becomes 2,000 becomes 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. How, like, what's the fastest you've seen growth?
That cat litter company, probably 18 months into business, they've acquired 50,000 subscribers. They sold 3,000 boxes last May.
And that's the most they've ever sold?
14 months ago.
And what would they start selling? How much were they selling when you started with them?
18,000, I believe.
But like in 1 month, what was their personal best prior to you?
I think that was where we picked up around 18,000. And now they're at 50.
Right.
We've been working with them for 4 or 5 months.
So it's almost tripled.
Close.
2.5 times. Wow. Close. Pretty dramatic result.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're way too humble about that. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. If I had a 2.5x on a subscriber based revenue, I'd be screaming that from the top of the building.
They're pretty pleased.
So now, your perfect customer are those kind of smaller. I mean, not small in the sense of making money and things like that, but just like from a staff size.
Enjoy that. We certainly don't turn down larger companies. I mean, we can handle really anything other than like a large enterprise. Mm-hmm. Company. That's just easier. I mean, the sales cycle in itself is
right, because they can make a decision,
right? And you have somebody to work with instead of giving an idea that go, especially like from an advertising standpoint, you're spending money every day. So if you're giving suggestions on optimizations or new strategies, if that has to go through kind of up the chain and back to you,
right,
then they come back and look at their ROI. They're like, what in the world? I'm like, that was a week ago. I told you that we could have turned this around.
So now, and that's, you're always testing, right? This never ends. So it's not like you go, hey, we figured out the ad and we're done. And then you're always at the beach, right? Like you're constantly testing.
Oh, I'll be at the beach, but you better believe right. I'm still working. Yeah.
Right.
I don't actually run any of that day to day, but somebody has to. So if somebody from one of the teams is gone, they have somebody filling in because you can't go a day without.
Right. Because you have to touch things. This and you got to pay attention because you're always trying to beat whatever is winning, right?
Right. And kind of the one downside to our business as far as downtime goes is especially with development, there's all kinds of technological issues that can happen. And if it's on a Saturday afternoon and somebody's website goes down for who knows what reason or has some sort of glitch, you know, you kind of have to expect that, like, man. Monday morning you're gonna come call. Into some right. You're probably getting them over the weekend, but Monday we come in, we have to fix that immediately.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation, what's the coordinates?
Our website is growmediaagency.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.